Welcome to Gay Geek Bizarre Show, episode 100, and it's a Monday, July 16, 2018. I am Nard.
And this is Ray.
Welcome everyone to Gay Geek Bizarre Show, where we talk about gay stories, geek news, and bizarre topics, and it's our 100th episode, guys. It's a milestone. Yeah, it's how many years have we been doing this?
About two or three years? Two and a half now.
Yeah, that's right. And yeah, it's 100 episodes, kind of a milestone. I wish we had a guest, but we've been busy. We've been so busy, Ray. Why are we busy, Ray?
Well, because you went all over Europe and didn't take me.
Oh, that's right.
Well, I sat here and had to work.
Yeah, that's right. So I was in Europe. I was in Mike and I and a couple of friends, Benny and Kerry. Yeah, shout out Benny and Kerry. London, Paris, Barcelona, Sitges, and Amsterdam. And I got some cheese. Oh, my God. Ray, do not bring cheese from another country to the U.S.
Why?
You get detained. You can get detained. For some reason, cheese is a delivery mechanism, and if you bring it in your carry-on, that's a bad idea. So,
well, I would never put it in my carry-on. I'd put it in my stuff that went under the plane.
Yeah, I should have done that, but then it would have been easier, but you were
Thinking about eating the cheese on the way back instead of cutting it.
No, I'm not cutting any. So, yeah, I was detained by the TSA because of that.
Maybe if you'd cut the cheese with the TSA, that'll let you through.
Yeah, they should have. Yeah, and they pat you down and everything because you brought cheese. So yeah, just a warning to every traveler out there: you should just check in your cheese if you're buying something from anywhere. Actually, you could. I think if you're buying cheese anywhere, as long as you're not carrying it, it's not in your carry-on luggage. So. Anyway, so yeah, we were there. It was fun. A lot of good food and everything. We got to the nude beach. Ray, when was the last time you were on a nude beach?
2 years ago.
Really? Where at?
Hippie Hollow.
Oh, okay. That would count. Yeah, so we were at...
It's not really a beach.
Yeah.
It's kind of like on a rock at Hippie Hollow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's nothing like running around the beach wearing nothing but shades, because, you know, you gotta protect your eyes.
Did your balls get sunburned?
No, I put sunblock. Okay. I definitely put sunblock. So we were at the beach of Sitges, and that was nice. We went 2 days in a row. And
getting a blowjob or giving a blowjob is not really sunblock.
No, it's not. You can't do that, really. It's kind of frowned upon at nude beaches. So, anyway, so it's kind of fun. Yeah, you should try a nude beach, Ray. Like maybe in Florida if you ever go. So the occasion right now is... Oh yeah, Ray. Let's talk about your occasion. So should I guess I should announce it or
what?
Yeah, about the big thing this coming week.
What big thing?
Yeah, this big thing. Well, one of the reasons why this is a special 100th episode is because Ray had a bachelor party.
Ray did not have a bachelor party.
You did not?
What did you have? It was not a bachelor party.
It was not a bachelor party?
The ladies at work took me out for...
So it's not a bachelor party.
Not a bachelor party.
So that's why you cannot title this as a bachelor party.
That's
so
right.
So what should we call it then?
Night out with the girls.
Night out with the girls.
To celebrate the future nuptials.
Yeah, that's right. So Ray, we celebrated Ray's...
Because bachelor parties are planned by your best friend.
I know.
They're blowouts. And since none got planned for me, I guess I'll have to wait to the church wedding next year for the big bachelor party.
Maybe that's going to be better. But for one thing, your best friend was busy gallivanting.
Excuses, here, the violin playing over in the corner. Excuses, people.
That's right. So we will have to postpone at some point. Okay, so Ray, what else happened to you this week?
Saw Ant-Man and the Wasp.
I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, it was actually pretty good. So, I've mostly been working and trying to get stuff ready for our little legal wedding. We have the legal wedding and then we have the church wedding, so we have to keep them straight.
Or gay. Or gay. Keep them straight.
Whichever. Keep them more gay, so. But, that's mostly what I've been working on. Weddings are expensive.
Yeah, they are.
Even like a simple one like we're doing now, just to go before the courthouse.
Mm-hmm.
And to go before the judge, and it's like, shit, I gotta pay for this, I gotta pay for that.
Mm-hmm.
like, good Lord. I need a GoFundMe page.
That is true. All right, Ray. So, shall we go to our stories, Ray?
Yep. I'll take the first gay.
Okay, go ahead.
House Appropriations Committee passes dangerous amendment granting child welfare agencies a license to discriminate. Today, July 11th, the Appropriations Committee in the United States House of Representatives adopted amendment to Labor HHS Operations Bill granting a shameful license to discriminate to taxpayer-funded child welfare agencies that wish to refuse to place children with adoptive parents for any number of religious reasons, including the parents of LGBTQ identity. The amendment is very similar to any LGBTQ laws that have been passed in numerous states, including most recently in Kansas and Oklahoma. Tomorrow, a federal court holds a hearing at the ACLU's legal challenge to an exclusionary license to discriminate law in Michigan brought by a same-sex couple that has been turned away by adoption agencies because of their sexual orientation. The amendment passed by a vote of 29-23. 10 states have laws on the books that allow child welfare agencies to discriminate against LGBTQ youth and families. Alabama, Kansas, Michigan, Mississippi, North Dakota, Oklahoma, South Carolina, South Dakota, Texas, Virginia. 5 of those bills were passed in 2017 or 2018. According to the data from the Every Child Deserves a Family campaign, more than 21,000 youth are awaiting adoption in states with these discriminatory laws on the books in 2015. Same-sex couples are especially more likely to be interested in adopting children or serving as foster parents. Policies like today's shameful LGBTQ amendment stands only to allow more agencies to turn away capable, loving parents, and at the end of the day, that harms children and makes it harder for more kids to be placed in loving homes.
Yeah, so this is what sickens me a lot, okay? So all these conservatives would just think about, abortion rights and everything. They don't want it, you know. They want the babies to be in full term. But then when they grow up, when they get born and grow up, they don't care about it anymore.
No, it's all your fault because you got pregnant.
That's right. That's what happens. So anyway, so in this case, so there are people, there are babies right now, there are kids or who are older even, who wants to have a family, or yeah, they need to have a family, and here comes gay couples, LGBTQ families, they just want to adopt because, you know, they want to give a life for a kid, but they don't want to just because of their religious beliefs, yeah, that gay people do not deserve to have a family.
Yeah.
And it's just really ass backwards that they think about, yeah, this, and they just, I don't know.
From my understanding, most people here in Houston that want to adopt that are gay, they go to San Antonio because the judges are more apt to place children in gay family in gay households there.
So it doesn't necessarily depend on the state, but it depends on the city where you're going to be.
It depends on the agency. They're giving the agency the right to, and there are agencies out there that do not discriminate. They're like, there's no proven difference between having straight parents or gay parents.
Yeah.
Except that if you have gay parents, you usually end up being fabulous.
Yes, exactly. That's right.
So, here in Houston, most of the agencies are Christian run. So they discriminate. But in San Antonio, they're different. Most people go to San Antonio to adopt because the judges are more willing to do it there. And the judges are not that willing to do it here in Houston.
Yeah. So maybe because there's a lot of people. I don't know.
So it's really sad. They have to go through the whole placement thing and background checks and all that stuff. Just like, it's harder to adopt a child than it is just to go out and get knocked up and have one.
Mm-hmm.
So,
gosh,
you don't have to have a license to have a child, but you have to go through background checks to adopt a child.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's right. But you can get a gun really easily, right?
Yeah, you can get a gun easier than you can get a child.
Yeah. All right. Let's go to the next story. This is really recent, and we got a lot of hits on Facebook in this one. Oh my god, I have a story about this after I read this. Okay, so gay porn star couple get engaged right after filming gangbang scene together. Who said romance is dead? So a gay porn star proposed to his boyfriend right after they'd finished shooting a bareback gangbang scene together. Wow, isn't that special, Ray? Isn't that so romantic? So during a post-scene photo shoot with the 8 other guys from the gangbang, Brian Bunz was already on his knees when he popped the question to his shocked boyfriend, Mason Lear. Bonds said, "Well, this is the end of our tour, and I can say that this was probably the best day that ever happened between us." Okay, after a gay porn scene. "And I'd love to do it over and over again, but there is one difference. What I want, I want you to wear this," he said. He says. Then he pulls out a box with a ring inside. Lear immediately says yes as the pair kiss, as all of the guys cheer in the background. Oh my god, after all this greasy and sweaty guys. Okay, so Porn Studio Raw Fuck Club. That's a very vulgar name for a porn studio. It's not like it's Hot Ethnic Men. Anyway, so posted the Raw Fuck Club posted the scene to their Twitter page, and it's an NSFW link. If you go to the link through the facebook.com/gaybizarre. So then Bonds took to Twitter to announce the news of his personal account. He tweeted a photo of his boyfriend's hand wearing the engagement ring with the caption, "We are finally headed home. So ready to be back after all this time, but coming back knowing that Mr. Mason Lear, at Mr. Mason Lear, is going to marry me someday soon. After lots of planning, makes this the best trip ever." After a Raw fuck up thing. "So, Brian Bonds, the way I propose to my fiance is my choice," which is right. It's your choice how to propose to your fiance. "So when one person responds in disgust," and the guy deleted it already, "so to the way he proposed," Bonds clapped back. He tweeted, "This is how I wanted to propose to my future husband, with my friends around and after crazy fun time at the end of a month and a half long tour. I don't give a buck tooth fuck what conservatives or anybody thinks. We fought for our rights to love and marry who we want. The way I proposed to my fiancé is my choice. And as porn actors, I felt this would be not only be special to us, but to the industry. If this is going to be used as fuel to take away any rights we have, any conservatives may suck my dick."
They probably will.
Yeah, probably they will. "And I charge extra for y'all," by the way. Must be Southern for saying the word y'all. "And lastly, any conservative who will have issues with how I propose with the fact that men love each other need to get with a goddamn program or do the world a favor and crawl into a hole and die," he tweeted.
Die.
The gay porn star couple are in an open relationship and have been since they first started dating. Bond said he prefers to keep it this way even after they're married. He tweeted, "I prefer to keep us as we are, open, sex-working horn dogs that love the company of our friends and more. Why kill something we love about our relationship?" Congratulations to the happy couple. So yeah, it's a heartwarming story of gay porn actors getting engaged after a gay rom.
Kind of like your Mike story across Europe this summer.
Well, ours is different. After getting married, we went straight to the bathhouse.
Oh yeah, that's what I know.
Oh yeah, okay, that's right.
But y'all, but the whole deal with y'all is like all through this 2-week tour of Europe, y'all were barebacking in all the gay bathhouses and bars across London, Barcelona. The video from the fisting scene between you and Benny was awesome.
Oh, really? I didn't know about that. Yeah. Oh, my God.
How did you not know with that fist that far up your ass?
I don't know. Maybe I didn't feel it. So, yeah, I like I said earlier, I have a story about this. So, I was listening to a story. It's been so long. It's been like 10 years. Anyway, I heard about a couple. So, they were in a... it's not porn, but it was an orgy. Yeah. And the two guys are really, they're in love with each other. But then they were in a an orgy and everything, and he was in a sling, and he was getting fucked really raw hard, and his husband was just in front of him, not necessarily, he's not the one fucking him, somebody else is fucking him, and then he was rubbing his nipples and kind of kissing him, and then it was just, I don't know, it's a little awkward. He said, "I really love you." While he's getting fucked by somebody in the sling. That people, you know, they find some love somewhere else.
Everybody's something different floats everybody's boat. And as long as they're happy and safe and sane with it, I'm okay with it.
Yeah, that's right. So anyway, congratulations to the couple in getting engaged after a gay porn scene. Let's go to the geek ray. So, oh, I want to take this one because this is something important. Okay, why is this important to me? Because it's all about space. It's all about the Space Force, right, Ray? So,
Jeff, it's all about the space. Yeah. The space.
Yeah. Jeff Bezos plans to charge at least $200,000 for space rides. So, that's in Reuters. So, Jeff Bezos' rocket company plans to charge passengers about $200,000 to $300,000 for its first trips into space next year. So, it's really immediate. Two people familiar with its plans told Reuters. Potential customers and the aerospace industry have been eager to learn the cost of a ticket on Blue Origin's new Shepard space vehicle to find out if it is affordable and whether the company can generate enough demand to make a profit on a space tourism. It's good for him. Executives at the company started by Amazon.com founder Bezos in 2000 told a business conference last month they plan test flights with passengers on the new Shepard soon and to start selling tickets next year. The company, based about 20 miles or 32 kilometers south of Seattle, has made public the general design of the vehicle, comprising a launch rocket and detachable passenger capsule, but has been tight-lipped on production status and ticket prices. Blue Origin representatives did not respond to requests for comment on its programs and pricing strategy. Bezos said in May, ticket prices had not yet been decided. Okay, so one Blue Origin employee with first-hand knowledge of the pricing plan said the company will start selling tickets in the range of about $200,000 to $300,000. A second employee said tickets would cost a minimum of $200,000. So they both spoke on condition of anonymity, as the pricing strategy is confidential. It's already out in the open. So the new Shepard is designed to autonomously fly six passengers more than 62 miles above Earth into suborbital space high enough to experience a few minutes of weightlessness and see the curvature of the planet before the pressurized capsule returns to Earth under parachutes.
Wait, the Earth's flat. How could they see the curvature?
That's right. Tell that to the flat earthers. So the capsule features six observation windows. Blue Origin says are nearly three times as tall as those as Boeing 747 jetliner. So Blue Origin has completed 8 test flights of the vertical takeoff and landing new Shepard from its launch pad in Texas. It's in Texas, right? Mm-hmm. But none with passengers on board. Two flights have included a test dummy the company calls Mannequin Skywalker. It's not awesome. It's so nerdy, but it's just awesome. Mannequin Skywalker. So the company will do the first test in space of its capsule escape system, which propels the crew to safety should the booster explode within weeks, one of the employees said. So this is exciting. Ray, $20,000 now or next week, and you get to go to space. 10 years from now, no, I would say 5 years from now, that would dramatically go down to probably $50,000. And keep moving forward, 6 years, 7 years, 8 years, 10 years from now.
When they get it down to the $300 to $400 mark that I can afford, I'll go to space.
What if they accept layaway at $10,000?
Nah, too much.
Still too much? Anyway, yeah, I would go for it. I've got to save for it.
Now, if it's $10,000 and you are up there for a while, like you got to go stay at the Space Odyssey Hotel and chill, you know.
Oh, by that time, I'm sure there's going to be some kind of amenities.
That might be a different story, you know. Because yeah. I'd probably be up there with Marvin and Jim, you know.
Yeah. So imagine this. You're there in space, and you... Money's not a matter of that, because probably you can
That's the problem. Money's always an issue with
me. Well, everything is affordable. Just like enough. Your car. By that time, you're paid off your car. And if you pay $300 a month... just to pay for your for your flight. Bills,
I got kids. I got a house note. I got college education to pay for. Man, I can afford all that.
Oh, really? Okay.
Maybe the kids, if I get them the right education, they can afford to pay to send me up to outer space.
Yeah, I mean, if you save now, you start saving now. But I'm guessing $10,000 10 years from now. Yeah.
Maybe it's one of my best friends will buy me a ticket and we'll go together.
Maybe. Yeah. That's right. That'd be a great idea.
I know.
Okay. So let's look for your friend then.
Okay. Okay, on to the bazaar. Let's talk about this amateur.
All right.
He sucked a 10-inch penis, then ended up in the ER. His story.
I had to put that in. Did I put that in? I think
did
I put
all
that
10 inches in?
No. The no, story on in. The Facebook.
You no, put I'll that? Put this in.
Oh, you mean you have double input? Oh my God, I hope not.
Oh my God, you always about double penetration, man. What the hell is that about?
I know. Well, we don't put two, you know.
Look, if I don't see it listed, I'll stick it out there. So, and sometimes my Facebook doesn't update fast enough, so me and Cesar double post, but hey, it's okay. All right, so he sucked a 10-inch penis and then ended up in the ER. With each generation, a rising class of heroes arrives to champion the queer community. Freddie Alanis, a 19-year-old legend who hails from Chicago suburbs, is one such hero, or has become one at least, to thousands of people on social media who have eagerly spread his tale of how a fated interaction with a 10-inch penis landed him in the hospital. According to Alanis, his airway was ruptured in January during a grinder hookup in which he sucked a Hulk-sized dick, as he put it, and wound up in the ER. Radiating big dick energy, which is more than a little ironic, I suppose. Then he snapped a selfie from the hospital bed. Alanis didn't post the now legendary photo until July 5th, 7 months in which the world sat deprived of the story of true queer resilience. Alanis, now fully healed and able to give interviews over the phone, talked with them about the experience of going viral on the internet and being introduced to the Gay Hall of Fame. And this is from an interview. So, first of all, how did you meet this well-endowed man? He's my old neighbor who I found on Grindr. He's like 4 years older than I am, so I knew who he was, but we never hung out or anything before. What did it feel like when your airway ruptured? After everything had happened, I felt it was just this soreness in my chest. Nothing really hurt that bad. I thought maybe my chest is just sore from what took place. I didn't think of anything of it. I woke up the next morning and the pain was still in my chest and it was sharp. I was hunched over and crying. Did you immediately tell the doctors what happened? No. Because see, man, if you can't get all excited when we're recording.
Sorry, keep going.
Is it still recording?
Yeah, it's still okay. Good.
Did you immediately tell the...
Hold on. There you go. Okay.
Did you immediately tell the doctors what happened? No, because afterwards I was kind of confused more than anything. When I went to the doctor, when they said there was a rupture in my airway, they said the only thing it could possibly be was last night. But you still didn't tell them? I didn't tell them exactly what happened because my mom drove me to the hospital. I told my mom that the night before I was violently coughing. I had to pull something out of my ass really quick to cover it up. Maybe if it had been up your ass, it wouldn't have been a problem with your throat.
Yeah.
I was in the hospital for 3 days. I felt like eventually I had to tell the doctors exactly what happened to be treated the right way. It was January 3rd, so I was starting off the new year in a hospital. Have you told your moms the details yet? No, I haven't told my mom. My mom, my post has made it to Facebook, and I guess it's circulating there, so it's a matter of time. I've accepted the fact. I have to let them see it on their own. Do your parents know you're gay? They do. They just don't know I'm a whore.
Yeah.
When did you post this story on Twitter? I actually posted it four nights ago. It was like I was just making it a joke about me and my friends who knew about it. I didn't think a bunch of people would retweet it and like it. It blew up. It wasn't my intention. Wasn't my attention at all. What has the feedback been like? The feedback has been nuts. I've gotten people, homophobic douchebags, messaging me and telling me to gas myself. Besides that, I feel like everyone on Twitter has thought it's funny. They say I'm iconic and a legend. They've said I'm their leader. They're posting some crazy-ass comments, and honestly, I'm just going along with it because I've never experienced anything like this before. You're kind of legendary for this. I'm a huge inspiration. I don't play too rough, though. Tell me about your life, girl. What's going on with you now? Right now, I'm driving from work because I'm a server. I work like 5 out of the 7 days of the week, living off my tips. Otherwise, if I'm not at work, I'm in Chicago going to the beach and hanging with friends. That's it. Or I watch reality TV shows. Literally, all the Real Housewives.
Really?
I watch Big Brother and those competition game shows. Anything on Bravo. Have you seen the guy since? I have actually seen him since then. I saw him 2 weeks ago. I'm not even going to lie. I told him what happened, and since then, we have decided to hook up or whatever. He's a lot less rough. He's more cautious and aware of what he's doing. I don't want to be in the hospital. He told me he felt so bad. He works in an ambulance, so he's pretty aware of the human body and what's possible. I was texting him on my way to the hospital, and I said, my chest is really hurting, and he said he hoped he didn't cause it because he knows it's possible.
Oh, wow.
I did not know this was medically possible. The chance of it happening and the fact that it happened is insane because the doctor told me getting the airway ruptured through oral intercourse is 1 in 1 million, maybe hundreds of millions.
Yeah.
You said you finished him off even after you know something had happened. Is that true? Yes, I wasn't going to stop. In the heat of the moment, my willpower willed me to continue. Stamina.
Of course.
So, I got to give boy props.
Yes, that's right.
He got to learn, you know. But, I mean, it's hard. Most guys don't run into 10-inch dicks.
That's right.
And like one of my coworkers Friday night, he was getting one slapped in her face. I'm not going to mention any names, Christy.
Oh, that's right. I don't listen to this show. So, yeah, it's just impressive that he found a guy who's got a 10-inch dick and he couldn't handle it. So, see, it blew up. But, you know, him being a legend, but then, you know, he kind of screwed up. Oh, I don't know. He got a ruptured throat. I don't know. And people regarded him as a leader, but then, you know, it's just kind of weird. But then it's just impressive that I'm impressed with the guy.
Well, I'm impressed because, you know, anything over 3 inches, I gag on.
Really?
Remember when I was gagging on you?
Oh, shit. Oh, my God. That did not happen, sir. Okay.
3 inches. Get the joke there, people. 3 inches.
That's right. Anyway, okay. What the fuck was that, Ray?
We're making fun of you.
Uh-huh. Okay, so yeah. Okay, guys, if you're listening, or guys and girls, if you're listening, if you've encountered a really big dick, let us know what happened. I mean,
have you ever encountered a really big dick, Maynard?
I take the fifth on this one. Okay, let's go to the next story.
But what does your rectum take?
I don't know.
More than a fifth.
More than the fifth. That's a good one, Ray. So doctors find tapeworm larva in spine of a woman hobbled by electric shocks in legs. Really? Oh, okay. This is from Gizmodo. It's a weird article, a bizarre article. So a tapeworm
it is the bizarre.
Yeah. A tapeworm that normally infects barn animals and dogs came as literal shock for a 35-year-old French woman.
Oh, it's some of that French weird food she ate.
Yep. According to a case report published Thursday in the New England Journal of Medicine. So the woman learned her 3-month ordeal of worsening muscle weakness and electric zaps in both legs are ultimately because of worms that had lodged themselves inside her spine. By the time the unnamed woman visited an emergency department, she had been struggling to stay upright, regularly falling without reason. Following a physical examination, it was confirmed that the woman's legs had started to lose sensation and she could barely flex her feet. Blood tests also suggest she had come down with some sort of infection. But it wasn't until MRI came back that the culprit was spotted. A lumpy lesion in the middle section of her backbone. The woman had the lesion and the 9th thoracic vertebrae, where it was found, surgically removed with a hole left behind in the spine repaired via an implant. And upon further examination, the lesion was found to contain larval cysts of the dog tapeworm, formerly known as Echinococcus granulosus. I'll see what they say it, right? As the name implies, the worm typically sticks to four-legged animals, though humans can occasionally get caught in its path. The adult worm breeds eggs that are pooped out of its primary host, like dogs, when they get ingested by any number of secondary hosts, such as sheep, goats, and other grazing types. The eggs find their way to the small intestine, where they develop into cysts. These cysts then ride the bloodstream and attach themselves to other organs where they continue to grow. Also, they can await the very special day when another dog comes around and eats the cyst-filled organs of their host animal, and the process begins anew. In people, though, this process usually hits a dead end for reasons that should be obvious, but the cysts left behind can still do some serious damage. They typically infest the lungs or liver, but it's not unheard of to end up in the central nervous systems of bones in this case. You can also tote around these tiny worms friends for years before becoming sick. It's not 100% clear how the woman got infected, but she had come into contact with cattle at some point before her symptoms started. So luckily, the woman's story ends about as happy as it can, 9 months after the procedure and following a course of anti-parasitic medication. The woman showed no symptoms or no signs of a continuation of infestation. So, congratulations, you don't have any more tapeworms in your back. So, yeah.
Once she's eating steak tartare.
Yeah, you can have tapeworms if you eat something raw, right? Mm-hmm. Well, the same thing with sushi. Well, for one thing, sushi and, raw fish, you can, you know, if it's not clean or if it's not prepared correctly, then yeah, you can have tapeworms that way. But that rarely happens because they really are pretty good. Do you eat sushi at all?
I eat California rolls.
There's no sushi. It's just California roll.
That's what I said. I eat California rolls.
Just cucumbers and jalapenos.
Yeah,
and
that's all I eat. Raw fish.
Speaking of jalapenos, tonight we had a dinner and Marvin and Jim who made a very nice dinner tonight with Thai salad and what do we have? The rice. Cilantro rice.
And the cilantro rice, which is always very good.
It's really good and everything. And of course, on the side, Ray made some appetizers. They are bacon wrapped
jalapenos.
They're jalapeno poppers, yeah. So jalapeno poppers, you take out the seeds and everything, you put cream cheese in it? Or what did you...
I had some bunch of extra little pieces of cheese, so I mashed them up and put some of the steak in them from the steak.
Did you heat them up a little bit so it would be mashable? No. Or you just stuffed them in there?
I stuffed them in there and wrapped the bacon around them and throw them on the grill.
So when you do that on a regular, you know, regular jalapeno and everything, how long does it take to... Just as long as you... The bacon.
How long it takes the bacon to cook? Yeah, so what? 5-10 minutes at most.
Yeah, should try. You should try. Y'all should try Ray's jalapeno poppers. It's just awesome. Anyway, so as far as this story goes, it's really sad that the lady had to contract this, and the mere fact that she may have contracted it was just by touching or being around.
Five of the jalapeno poppers tonight, I put tapeworms in, so we'll see how.
Thank you very much, Ray. It's a good thing it was cooked really well.
Maybe one of them wasn't cooked that well.
Okay. Well, I have guts of steel. Well, I don't know.
Not really.
Yeah. We'll see what happens. Okay, so this is our 100th episode. I'd like to do a shout out to my partner, of course, Mike. We were in a vacation last week. And also to Benny and Carrie from New Jersey. Thank you for hanging out with us. It was great to be your cruise director. And we were just... It's their first time in... In Europe, and they just...
Yeah, Benny, I'm still waiting on the videos of Maynard. Please forward as soon as possible.
Yes, please. Those videos from the back room of XXL. Okay, so special thanks to Caesar for the great articles on Facebook. Yeah, Caesar has been great.
Thanks for being with us for 100 episodes, Caesar.
Thank you, Caesar. Thank you very much. So that's facebook.com/gaygeekbizarre if you want to contact us. Send your email to show@gaygeekbizarre.com.
Or call and leave us a voicemail at 281-947-2327. That's 281-947-2327. Leave us a voicemail and tell us how big that monster dick was.
Yes, that's right. Tell us about it and tell us if you ever hurt yourself, injured yourself because of big dick.
Yep.
So follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and we are on Google Play, iTunes, and Stitcher Radio. That was yours. I forgot.
Yes, I know. That's okay. Go ahead.
And go to the official website at gaygeekbizarre.com. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and we'll catch you guys on the next episode of Gay Geek Bizarre. Bye.
Goodbye, single life.